short and sweet. That's what we've done with this episode of the Vermont Edition podcast. I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There's a major effort taking place in Milton to, quote, properly recognize, honor, and publicize the extraordinary contributions of General George Stannard to the state of Vermont and the United States, primarily through his service in the Civil War. The goal is to restore Stannard's farmhouse in Milton and make the site part of a Vermont Civil War heritage trail. Who was George Stannard, and why do so many historians view him as one of Vermont's greatest soldiers? Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to look at these questions with a group of people who know the history of George Stannard very well. That includes Bill Cagle, who is the co-chair of the General Stannard House Committee, Liam McCone, who is the Stannard Camp Commander, and Vermont historian Howard Coffin. Great to have you all here today.
Nice to be here.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Want to note that tomorrow is General George Stannard's birthday. He was born 198 years ago in Georgia, Vermont. Bill, let's start off with you. Tell us about your project, the Stannard House Project. What's it all about? What do you want folks to know about George Stannard?
Well, we want folks to know just how important he was, not only to Vermont's role in the Civil War, but also the outcome of the war itself. He was Vermont's first volunteer, longest-serving Civil War volunteer from Vermont, and really arguably the most important Civil War figure from the state for his role at Gettysburg, which I'll let Howard and Liam expand upon. The house that he owned in Milton after the Civil War is important because it was part of a farmstead where he raised horses after the Civil War there, and he his barn was outfitted for his missing arm, and that makes it significant, very significant to the Civil War story here in Vermont.
And that's an arm that he lost in battle, right?
Yes, at Fort Harrison.
And why do you think it's important to honor his service? What do you want folks to know about him, the person?
He was a great leader. He commanded the respect of his men. He was very firm but well-respected. And he was just—he was unflinching. He couldn't have served his country better in the Civil War. And his story— It has been told, but we can tell it. We can continue to tell it and tell it more completely in a Civil War historic site that is connected to him.
Liam, your title is commander of the Stannard Camp. What are your responsibilities?
The Stannard Camp is the local chapter of a group called the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War, that is the heir to the Grand Army of the Republic. Of the 2 million Union soldiers that served in the Civil War, about 400,000 of them joined this as the largest of the Union veteran groups. Vermont is unique in having the only state highway that's named for the Grand Army of the Republic, which is Vermont 15, near where we sit today. And we're going to put up a historical marker, official roadside marker from the state, explaining the history of the Grand Army of the Republic. We encourage people who have an interest in the Civil War to join the Sons of the Union Veterans. If you had an ancestor that served, you can be a full member, or if you did not, you can be an associate member. We're a nonprofit, nonpartisan group chartered by the Congress.
And Liam, what draws you to this project? Why are you so passionate about the life and the career of General Stannard?
I got into this because of my interest in the Civil War generally, but particularly Irish history, when I discovered that an Irishman buried in St. Joseph's Cemetery in Burlington, John Lonergan, became a was mentored by Standard to form a militia company and served gallantly himself for the civil part of the Civil War, and ended up serving under Standard at the Battle of Gettysburg, and himself was Lonergan was awarded the Medal of Honor for his gallantry at the Battle of Gettysburg. Bill Cagle and I have been cooperating in attempts to have Standard awarded a Medal of Honor as well.
Today on the program, we're looking at the life and the career of General George Standard and his role in the Civil War. You may have some questions or some thoughts on this subject. 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Let's turn now to Vermont Civil War historian Howard Coffin, who has written a number of excellent books about Vermont's involvement in the Civil War. Liam mentioned the Battle of Gettysburg, July 1863, the third day. A lot of people think that was a pivotal event in the military history of this country.
Absolutely, Bob. Nice to be here. Just a footnote here. The first time I walked into the Standard House up there in Milton years ago, it was like falling down around me. These people have done a wonderful job of preserving it. I was thrilled. I mean, Standard actually stood in that house. I knew that. And, you know, what would have happened if the North had lost the Battle of Gettysburg? I suspect that we would have had to settle for a draw in the Civil War, and that meant Southern independence, and that meant that slavery goes on and on and on and on. But we didn't lose at Gettysburg, maybe because of Standard and his 2nd Vermont Brigade. 9 month soldiers, all ready to go home, never been in a battle. And on the third day, when Lee makes that desperate try for victory, sending George Pickett and 12,500 men across that mile-wide valley, and here they come booming into the middle of the Union line, and it's nip and tuck, and then Standard sends 900 of his untested soldiers out and attacks the flank, a very intricate maneuver, and blasts the flank of Pickett's charge and defeats it. And it was the Southerners who said it was the fire from the right, the Vermonters, that beat us. I mean, it's maybe the climactic moment of the Civil War. I have said that Vermonters won the Battle of Gettysburg, and I don't back down from that. It was the telling blow to that terribly important attack. So, wow, Standard is a great warrior, and yes, he's our most important Civil War figure, and we ought to honor him, and we haven't done it right yet. But boy, we're getting there because of what's happening in Milton.
It's interesting to note that Standard's corps commander was Major General Abner Doubleday, and he observed the work of the Vermont troops and wrote this: "I can only say that they performed the most brilliant feat during the war, for they broke the desperate charge of Pickett, saved the day, and with it, the whole North from invasion and devastation." You don't think it's an overstatement to say, if the South wins the Battle of Gettysburg, everything changes?
It's entirely possible. I mean, if you win at Gettysburg, where's Lee going? Well, he's going up to Harrisburg. He's going to prevent the troops coming in from the west by capturing the rail lines. And then is he going to head for Baltimore or Washington? He's going to raise the dickens up there. And he may have have generated enough public pressure on Lincoln to say, okay, that's it. But you know, we don't have to worry about that because Gettysburg is a tremendous victory, although it's sort of a high-class draw. You know, Meade doesn't follow up. The Union commander doesn't follow up on it adequately. But also the next day, Vicksburg on the Mississippi falls 1,000 miles to the west, and some historians say that's more important than Gettysburg. Gettysburg is huge, and George Standard and the 2nd Vermont Brigade in that battle are immense. They really are.
Let's go to our callers and talk first to David, who is calling from Wilmington. Hi, David. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Well, I just don't understand why we are suppressing the Civil War in the South and glorifying it in the North. And I thought of another thing while I was listening on hold here. I thought it was Chamberlain from Maine that turned the tide of the Civil War in Gettysburg. And I never heard of Stanton before, not to take anything away from the man. I'm sure he did his part.
Well, David, we can get Howard Coffin here to talk to you about it. There are actually different days of the Gettysburg Battle where Chamberlain and George Stannard were involved. Do I have that right?
Absolutely. It was the second day at Gettysburg, July 2nd, that Chamberlain played his big role defending the left flank of the Union Army at Little Round Top, a major action at Gettysburg, facilitated in a large extent by the Vermont sharpshooters, but that's another story. And then on the third day, the great heroes, I think, are the Vermonters. It's the defeat of Pickett's Charge, which led to the defeat of the Confederacy and the eradication of the greatest evil in the history of this country, American slavery.
Bill, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. David talked about our folks in the North glorifying the North's role in the Civil War. How would you answer that question?
Well, not being, the most staunch historian, I'm kind of a student of the Civil War myself, as we speak, as I've gone along with this project. I don't really know how I would respond to that, to tell you the truth. Not knowing the deeper history, but I just feel like I just know who did play an important role, and largely from Vermont.
Bill, we were talking about the effort to restore the Stannard farmhouse in Milton. Howard talked about one of the first times he was in it, he felt it was falling down all around him. So what kind of shape is it in now? How much work have you done on it, and what still needs to be done?
Well, it is structurally in need of work right now. We our current plans are to disassemble the timber frame house and store it over this winter and at the Bombardier barn in Milton, and reassemble it at the appropriate time when we have enough funding. The property was just transferred to the town of Milton from Bob Miller. We've coordinated all that this fall. We built an access road so that we can work on the house. We've contracted with Building Heritage, historic preservation and timber framing folks to do the documenting of the historic components and do the disassembly and storage work this fall. And we've got a ways to go, but we've finally have achieved physical progress this fall, and we're going to be continuing over the winter and developing our plans for the next year and beyond. We met with our town rec commission this past week to discuss re-siting of the house at near the Bombardier barn in Milton, which reconnects the house with an agricultural resource similar to Stannard's barn. And that has been approved. That concept has been approved by the Vermont Division of Historic Preservation as a preferred, sustainable, and more appropriate way to have the house set up as a historic site.
Liam, there's talk about this site being part of a Vermont Civil War Heritage Trail. Could you briefly tell us what that project's all about and when it might come together?
It's an ambitious effort to tie together some of the more significant aspects of Vermont's heritage in the Civil War. Howard Coffin has an excellent book out on the numerous sites that cover the state. We're just attempting to link some of those in a trail that would be a coherent approach to have people visit these and get some more information about the Civil War, and Sanders House will be a key component. And once it's usable again, we hope to make it the headquarters of the Standard Camp of the Sons of Union Veterans. We're using the American Legion Hall at Milton, which is just up the road from Standard's House, this Saturday, tomorrow, for a public program from 1 to 5 about Standard and his career as a leader in the Vermont effort for the war. The public's invited. And if I may reference the caller that just raised that very pertinent question of glorifying the war and suppressing it in the South. My take is that we don't really want to glorify any war, and that where our concern should be about understanding the causes of the war and helping to heal those rifts that seem to be coming up again. Recently made contact with and joined a group called Better Angels that is promoting civil discourse rather than civil war. And their name is taken from Lincoln's first inaugural address, where he called upon the better angels of our nature, saying, "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies."
Howard, we got an email from Frank in Derby, who says there's an important Civil War monument in Derby that he wanted people to know about. Are you familiar with that?
I'm very familiar with it. It's one of the first, in fact, it may be the first monument, Civil War monument erected in Vermont. Right after the Civil War, there were a handful of monuments put up by the towns that lost the heaviest. And Derby had a very heavy loss of men in the Civil War. And they were one of the first to put up a monument. It's a magnificent monument. Early one went up in Rochester, one in Cornwall. And then there was a kind of a quiet period. And then the monument started going up everywhere. But, it's a beautiful monument. Up in the line there, in a little park. It's lovely. This Heritage Trail idea, the idea is, you know, all along Route 7, there's major Civil War sites. Rokeby, you know, the Underground Railroad stop, the station at Vergennes where John Brown's body came in. The Rutland Fairgrounds was the camp of the 1st Vermont Regiment and the site of a sharpshooter trial. And you go down to Manchester, you've got the Robert Todd Lincoln home. You know, they're just everywhere along Route 7. And we can get this trail together. The Standard House will be maybe the gem of it, but it's going to be an exciting travel experience for not Vermonters and people coming from everywhere.
Let's talk to Peterson, who is calling from Detroit. Hi, Peterson. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'll mention my grandmother was Mary Elizabeth Standard. Down about three generations from General Standard, it's a privilege to be in that bloodline and on your show today. Just asking the team there, would you please comment on the nature of untested Vermont troops and how they came to be motivated and to perform so admirably and historically? Thank you.
Well, Peterson, that's a great question. Howard?
Yeah, they're amazing because most of the 9 month soldiers weren't worth a darn. The units weren't worth a darn. At Chancellorsville, they had practically run away. And yet, here's these 9 month soldiers at Gettysburg, these Vermonters, who do an amazing thing. Why are the Vermonters different? They had Standard in command, and he was a motivational and tough commander. He clearly had drilled them well. Here in Vermont, we have Norwich University that was key to the training of soldiers. Vermonters just seemed to be darn good soldiers anyway. Farm boys, they all could shoot. They could march forever. And at Gettysburg, perhaps with that flank attack by these short-term soldiers all ready to go home, maybe is the outstanding example of the quality of Vermont soldiers. I think the Vermont soldiers were the best in the Union armies.
And right now we're going to hear from another descendant of General Stannard, and that would be Bob Stannard, who is a former member of the Vermont House. Welcome to the program, Bob.
Bob Kinzel, how great to hear your voice. How are you doing?
Very good. I want to mention to our listeners that Bob Stannard joins us from France. We haven't had a call from France in some time, so this is a real thrill for us. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, growing up, when did you become aware that you were part of a famous Vermont military family?
It was always in the background of any Stannard's life in Vermont that George Stannard was a member of our family. As my dad used to say, he's probably the only one in the family who ever amounted to anything. And he is a direct descendant from Joe Stannard, who landed in Haddam, Connecticut in 1660. And it is from Joe Stannard that all Stannards in this country come from. It was in the background of my early life, and it wasn't really until I was elected to the Vermont legislature and walked down the hallway in the card room, a area that I know that you know well, and hanging on the wall is a bronze plaque of George, and I will never forget the first time I looked at that plaque. At the time, I had hair, and I had a rather hefty red beard, and the resemblance was really quite uncanny. There was a former rep from South Burlington named Bob Walsh, who was a teacher and used to bring his classes to the State House. And he would give anyone a roll of lifesavers who could pick out the legislator sitting in the well of a house who resembled that plaque. And he gave away a lot of lifesavers.
So after you saw yourself in that picture, which must have been an amazing feeling, did you find yourself more curious about the general?
Absolutely, indeed. I couldn't help it. I mean, it was a part of my early life, part of my heritage, and then a part of my daily life walking through the State House. And at the State House, I got to meet one of your guests today, Howard Coffin. And let me take this opportunity to thank Howard and everybody else who was involved in this project. It's so great to see that we're recognizing the importance of Vermont's role in the Civil War. I will tell you that some years went by, and just 2 years ago, my wife and I ended up in Gettysburg for 3 days, and I would like to encourage each and every Vermonter who's listening to this program and otherwise, they really should try to make the sojourn to Gettysburg to experience what that battle was about, what it was like. The self-guided tour that I took, because all the way around Gettysburg, the beautiful sculptures that were presented by the states that were involved. And the tour ended at Cemetery Hill at the base of the statue of George Stannard. There was a guide there all dressed in uniform. He was fabulous. And I told him my name was Bob Stannard, and he almost lost his mind. He had been there for 10 years and had never met a Stannard. And so it was a big moment for him. It was sort of an interesting moment for myself to be recognized as a Stannard in a positive way, I should say, Bob, in the town of Gettysburg. It was actually quite powerful. It was very interesting.
Bob, do you feel that General Stannard has had any kind of influence on your own life?
Well, you know, when you think about the tenacity of George Stannard, you know, the fact that he was shot in the hip and refused to leave the battlefield, that he was shot in the arm and lost his right arm, that he was such a dynamic leader. I've only listened to a portion of this show, and I heard someone speak earlier about what a charismatic leader he was and inspirational. And it's very hard to be a Stannard and go through life and not think about him, think about who he was, and think about just how tenacious he was. He refused to quit. And I think that if you're a Stannard in Vermont and you've paid any attention to who George Stannard was, it's nearly impossible to not carry that with you. Anyone who knows me, and I know you do, we've known each other 35 years,
I tend to be a little tenacious.
You know, Bob, I first time I met you at the it was at the State House, and somebody introduced me to you, and we shook hands, and I thought, boy, I'm touching the DNA of George Stannard. It was I had a moment like that like 15 years ago. Somebody knocked on my door. It was an elderly lady, and I said yes, and she said, "I am William Tecumseh Sherman's granddaughter." And shaking her hand, I had that same feeling, you know, the DNA. Nice to be talking to you, Mr. Stannard.
Nice to be talking. I presume that's Howard?
Yes, it is.
Yes. It was wonderful to talk to you again, Howard. Gee, but I miss you. It's a funny thing, you know. It's obviously, you don't dwell on it day to day, but there are times when you look at, and let's look at where we are today. We're in pretty difficult times today. And, you know, what it's almost impossible to not stop and contemplate once in a while, what would George do? What would he think about this? How would he respond to this? Probably the most interesting part about George Stannard for me, other than his accomplishments as a war general, was when he came back and they gave him a job as the doorkeeper in Washington, and he hated that job. It was not something for him. It was an income, I suppose, but he did it for, I don't know, Howard would know better than I did. I think it's about a year and a half or 2 years, and finally said, I just can't do this, and came back to Vermont. That to me was the real symbol of the man. This was a man who understood strategy. He understood discipline. He understood dealing with fellow human beings and how to get them to respond to what needed to be done, not what he wanted to do. And then when that was over, he was not one who wanted a patronizing job. He did what he did, and he came home. And frankly, it reminds me a lot of my father-in-law, who was a World War II pilot. He was in the first plane to cross over the line on D-Day, and also a man who never talked about his war experience, never really cared for recognition, although he received a lot. Really true war heroes, people that have seen combat and are just true heroes, don't really brag about it much. And I'm sure that he never really looked for a lot of attention afterwards. He did what he had to do. He did it very well. Obviously, I haven't caught much of this show, but, you know, we know what he did. He helped defeat Pickett at the charge on Cemetery Hill. And if you stand on Cemetery Hill, which is why I'm encouraging people to go there, and you look at that hill and you look at what happened and where it happened, it was all so close quarters. This is not long distance fighting. This is hand to hand stuff. And that he was able to do what he did was just truly remarkable.
Absolutely.
Although I think if he was on this talk with us right now, I don't believe that he would think what he did was remarkable. I think what he would think is it's what he thought had to be done, and he was that kind of guy.
Bob Stannard is a relative of General George Stannard. Bob, many thanks for taking the time to be on the program today.
It's a real honor, and it's thank you very much, Bob.
Let's talk to Travis, who is calling from Stannard, Vermont. Hey, Travis, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. So just wanted to make sure your viewers knew that there has been an effort in the past to recognize the contributions of General Stannard, and that was through naming a town after him. There's a small town called Stannard in the Northeast Kingdom. My family's Stannard Farm in the town of Stannard. And there's at least a small community of 120-some folks in a town with no dirt road, a good 100% of whom know who Stannard is. And I guess just sort of thinking how there's a risk sometimes today of things seeming like they don't matter in Vermont unless they happen in Montpelier or the Valley. But a lot of what the Stannard story is for us is a story of brave Vermonters from small towns. And I hope that the Milton folks are able to maybe call some attention to the importance of sustaining those small towns and keeping us going, because those small agricultural communities are where heroes come from.
Okay, so. Travis, thank you very much for your phone call. We're almost out of time. Bill, can you add anything to the history that Travis told us about?
Well, I think we are going to continue to tell that story. The Vermont's small farm towns are the backbone of this state, and like George Stannard, like Bob Stannard said about George, we're going to refuse to quit on the project we're working on. It's the right thing to do. We need to restore this house, and we need to properly honor George Stannard. And we're really making progress now. And stay tuned. We appreciate everyone's support. We're having a fundraiser dinner tomorrow night at Bove's in Milton to celebrate where we are and to raise some more funds. And on his birthday, we're going to have a birthday cake celebrating. And stay tuned.
All right. We're just about out of time. But, Liam, today is also the anniversary of the raid on St. Albans, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so. It's a connection there with Stannard, of course. And we hope to combine a couple of activities in 2020. It'll be his 200th birthday. It'll also be the 150th anniversary of the Irish invasion of Canada by the Fenian Brotherhood's forces that were led by Captain John Lonergan, the man that Stannard mentored, encouraging him to form a militia company in Burlington before the war. And Lonergan is the man that led the Vermont troops into the flank of the rebel forces on that fateful day at Gettysburg.
Today in the program, we've been exploring the life of Civil War General George Stannard and the efforts to recognize and honor his career. Many thanks to our guests today, Bill Cagle, Liam McCone, and Howard Coffin. It is always a pleasure to discuss this topic with all three of you. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.